But we're glad to be with you. That video now, that building, we just got done laying tile. We just laid 3 pallets of tile in that building. That's how big it is on the inside. And it's about 99% done right now. And we should start taking in kids probably August or September. And this is live, right? So I'll be... Okay. So, and our area is a unique area. So one of the guys on there, how many of y'all have ever heard of El Chapo? Okay, he owned the farm behind our orphanage. And so we live in a kind of a unique area. And they're watching, they like us because we're there to help the community. And they know that eventually probably we're going to raise their kids, is the way it usually will happen. And so it's a unique area. The Lord has blessed us. And the truth of the matter is it doesn't matter where you're at in the world. If you're in the will of God, you're going to be okay one way or the other. It's better to be in the will of God in the middle of the Sinaloa cartel than right here in Searcy out of the will of God. So the Lord's blessing us with that. The paperwork, we should sign it the last week of June. We've got it lined up. We're supposed to sign it last month, but I feel like I'm back in the Army. We're hurrying up and waiting, you know. You know how that goes. And so once that paperwork is signed, that tower will go up. And that radio station will reach 500,000 people. So the Operation Compassion, that's the older one also. Last year, we were able to give out 11,000 backpacks with toys. And what you have to remember is each kid that shows up, they come with 3 or 4 people. So we literally got to preach to, because we hold special services wherever we go. And like if you saw the picture, I don't know if you'll remember it, there was 3 of us standing there. We had our thumbs up. The guy on the far left was the mayor of Nogales, Sonora, Mexico, a town of 300,000. Another mayor of Magdalena, which is 40,000, was on there with me. And so they allow me to come in because I don't charge them anything, and we're just trying to be a blessing to the community. And the deal is, the way we word it is, all we ask for is about 15 minutes to tell the Christmas story from the Bible. That's what we tell them. They, absolutely, sure, come on. And so we preach the gospel. When I was in Nogales, they actually had me on Mexican television preaching the gospel. But one, the people we saw eyeball to eyeball this last December, we looked at it as somewhere in the neighborhood of 30,000 people we were able to give the gospel to just in December. So the Lord has really blessed with that. So keep praying for us. We deliver scripture all over Mexico. I've driven all the way down to the Guatemala border and all over the place. And just on Tuesday, I was down in the Eagle Pass and Uvalde area, where you see on the news where they're all coming across. And we delivered 500,000 gospel tracts and 10,000 New Testaments. And so when you turn on your news and you see people coming across, realize not on the news, is there somebody behind the scenes passing them out scripture. So you need to pray for those folks. And so God's bringing a mission field in here. Might as well get the gospel to them, right? And so, but God's been very gracious, very good to us. We're on the road for the next month. I actually picked up another 2,100 whole Bibles. I have it in my trailer. My trailer's sitting in Alma, Arkansas. And we're picking up 2,000 backpacks and some other things from there to haul back. We're starting to get ready for Operation Compassion again. So God has opened a lot of doors. We're very grateful, very thankful for that. Just a little bit about us. My wife and I graduated from Quitman. Y'all know where Quitman is? Feels good to be somewhere where somebody knows where Quitman's at. So, you know, we went to school for 12 years, got the best sixth grade education money could buy. And they asked me around the country how we pick our wives in Arkansas. I said, well, you know, we graduated. It was one of the biggest classes at the time. I think it was 38 in our class, wasn't it, graduating class? And so I looked at her. She looked at me. She wasn't my first cousin, had a full set of teeth. I said, that's the girl for me. And so, all right. Yeah, she did. She did. So, but, you know, we traveled all across the country, been a lot of different churches. And you never know what to expect when you're in these churches. So I'll just tell you a little story about it, then I'm going to preach, okay? So we were in California, and they were having a men's retreat. And I'd never been there before, and California's a little different anyway. And so they were having this deal where the men all came out to this place, and they each had like two in a room, and then they'd come out and eat breakfast together, have preaching during the day kind of thing, you know, for a couple days, 2-3 days. So that preacher said, well, you're going to be in town. I want you to go. I said, okay, I'll go. So I didn't know anybody, and I was sitting there that first morning next to the preacher. This guy comes out, and man, he looked like wore out. He just wore out. I mean, bags and just tired. And preacher said, hey, man, what's the matter with you? He said, well, you put me in the room with George last night. And he said, George, he snorts so loud, sounded like a tornado. I couldn't sleep. I was up all night watching George. He said, oh, man, I'm so sorry. You know, he's trying to keep the peace. And so the next night he put this other guy in there. I'm sitting next to the preacher again. He comes out. And that guy, he's got bags under his eyes. And preacher said, what's wrong with you? He said, man, you put me in the room with George. It sounded like a sawmill all night. He said, man, I couldn't sleep. He said, I was up all night watching George. So that preacher looked at me. He said, look, I don't need a church split, and you're leaving soon, so you're going to have to sleep with George tonight. I said, okay, that's fine with me. So I got in the room there with George, and next morning, they're all sitting at the table, you know, watching, see what's going on. And I come out, I felt great, man. I was like, oh, man, I got a good night's sleep and stuff. And the preacher, hey, come here a minute. He said, weren't you in the room with George last night? I said, yeah. He said, how'd you sleep? I said, perfect. He said, well, what happened? I said, well, first thing I did when I went in there is I run my fingers through his hair, rubbed his hand a little bit, and George stayed up watching me all night. Amen? So y'all get that later. California. All right, if you have your Bible, we're going to go to 2 John. We're going to stay in the first chapter tonight. You know, when we're in Mexico, I don't see a lot of American news. And then when I come out of Mexico, I'm thankful I don't see a lot of American news. But depending on what channel you turn on is the truth. It seems like every channel has a different truth. Isn't that right? And so what I want to talk to you about tonight or preach about tonight is the truth. We have John here. The Lord used him to write this from Ephesus. And John was in his 90s at this time. And so let's begin to look at verse number 1. It says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we want to thank you for the opportunity to meet together and to study your word. And Lord, our desire tonight is not only to understand what your word says, but to apply it to our lives that we may bring you honor and glory as we live our daily lives. And so, Lord, would you please meet with us? Would you please help us to understand your word? May you use it to draw us closer to you that we may love you more and yield ourselves even more to you. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And so what we see, first of all, in the first three verses is the love of the truth. And we see here, is if you look at verse number 1, it says, also all they that have known the truth, and he's implying here, there is only one truth. And Jesus tells us himself in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? There is only one truth. He's the living word, and he has left us the written word. And so what we have here is the truth. Whenever we hear anything, whether it be in television or even in the church house or whatever, we should look to the truth to make sure it is true. Because everything that goes against the Word of God is a lie. It's either true or a lie. There's no in between. And so he tells us about this love for the truth. He's writing here to a local church. We know that. And what he is saying here is this, is that the truth, those that are born again, the truth dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. This is the eternal word of God. It is the truth. And we notice this, how to experience the truth is we see in verse number 3, by the grace of God and the mercy of God, which brings the peace of God. Right? For by grace are you saved through faith. Right? And so it's we're saved by grace and we live by grace. Because you and I could not accomplish anything in our own flesh. It has to be the Lord. You and I are not smart enough. You and I are not strong enough. We're not slick enough. It is either God and His grace or nothing. We're saved by grace. We live by grace. We're kept by grace. And so grace is, we all know, unmerited favor. He gives us what we don't deserve. Is that right? And through that, we can experience the peace of God. Now listen, the whole world around us is looking for something to give them peace. If we come to America, we're trying to figure out, you know, whether it's drugs or immorality or take your pick. If we go to Mexico, it's to say, they think because the average person I deal with makes less than $10 a day. A couple of the ladies in the picture there, they work at the factory downtown in another town next to us about 8 miles away, and they have a good job. They have what's considered a good job at the factory. They work from 6 in the morning till 6 at night, and they make the wiring harnesses for the new vehicles. So probably they made some of the harnesses in your vehicle. They make $75 a week. A little rough, huh? The last month or so, behind our building is some railroad tracks. Union Pacific has been going by for about the last month, and one of the train cars had 100 train cars behind it. And inside was 12 vehicles in each car headed to the States. They're all Ford trucks and those new Ford Broncos. We sit there and watch them go by. I stand there with folks who have cars held together with baling wire. Watch those new cars go by. And in Mexico, the drug trade is so big that they'll do it, and they all know they're either going to end up dead or in jail. But they're saying is it's better to live like a lion for a day than a dog for a lifetime. And so they think that's the answer. That's what's going to, if I can just get enough money, if I can get enough nice things, I'm going to have this peace and I'm going to have all that. It doesn't matter what country you live in. That's what people are looking for, peace. But the only peace that stays and sustains is the peace of God. And it's only experienced by the grace of God. And I'm thankful tonight that our God is gracious and merciful. How many of y'all excited to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Yep. How many of y'all are not excited to be in the house of the Lord? And how many of y'all are not raising your hand no matter what I say this evening? Okay, just checking. So he talks about the love of the truth. You and I ought to love the Word of God. We ought to spend time in the Word of God. You and I, oftentimes, I read a statistic years ago. It said that the average Christian will never read through their Bible in their lifetime. Now, you do realize this is a love letter from our God to you and I, right? When I was in boot camp, some of you guys in the military will understand this. After boot camp, my wife and I are going to get married. We'll be married 40 years this year. We graduated together from Quitman, you know. And she would write me letters. We'd be out there in boot camp, drill sergeant come in, and he'd have a wad of letters. We'd have mail call. And they'd say, hey, you'd stand out there and they'd say, Private so-and-so and Private Schwer. And I, oh, yeah, and here it's from my soon-to-be wife. And I'd read that thing, put it in my pocket, and then we'd go back in the barracks. Lights out. I'd pull that thing out, pull the covers over my head, put on my little flashlight. I'd read it some more. Man, I'd read that thing so much, I almost had it memorized. It wasn't like somebody was, hey, you ought to memorize that thing. If you love that woman, you ought to memorize. No, I didn't have to have anybody tell me because I loved her. I couldn't wait till we got married. And I would just read that thing and read that thing and read that thing. And she's sitting over there wishing I would do that again sometime. And so, but I would just read that thing because I loved her. I want to get every bit of what I could get out of that letter till I got home. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I was homesick, right? I was missing the girl that I was going to marry. But isn't it the same way with our Lord? Didn't he write that thing to help us out? This isn't a book of do's and don'ts. It's a book about how to have a great relationship with our God. And we ought to read that thing. And I'm not saying maybe you don't read that thing every day and it's hard for you or whatever. I'm just saying you don't have to be a super Christian. I'm not saying you got to read 50 pages a day and all this. But I'm saying this, if you don't read it every day, just ask the God for help. Say, Lord, help me to read this every day. And maybe it's just a verse. You say, well, that's not much. Well, it's more than you've been doing. And just meditate on it. Think about it. Hey, why did he write this here? What's he trying to tell me? And how can I apply this to my life? And how can I use this to draw closer to my God and understand him more and all, right? You don't have to be, listen, you don't have to be smart. I'm walking illustration of that. So he tells him about a love for the truth. Notice number 2 in verses 4-6. He's excited because they're walking in the truth. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which ye had from the beginning, that ye love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. And so if we really love the truth, then this is going to do something. It's more than just learning, but doing. And it's moving through life controlled by and occupied with the truth. Now listen, we built that building, and it wasn't because I'm trying to be a martyr and act like I'm all that. And listen, I'm ambitiously lazy. Trust me. I'm not going to work harder than I have. Look at me. You know what I'm saying? If there's a taco place in town, I've got to make an excuse to be there. And I'm about 2 steps away from maternity pants right about now. So the key is this. Is I believe you know, you ought to buffet your body daily, right? So we built that building, though, with literally 3 shovels and a wheelbarrow. We laid that whole foundation 1 wheelbarrow at a time. We're mixing that stuff. You understand? Now, one of the great things is, because I'm not trying to be anybody, I'm not trying to change them to the American culture. I think that's probably the worst thing you could possibly do. It's okay for them to be saved and keep their culture. Because it ain't working for us. I'm looking around as I'm driving. So one of the guys that's helped us build that, he was the town drunk. And we're just building, and I'd not pressure him to come to church or anything, just talk to him about the Lord and this and that. And he'd pop in once in a while, you know what I mean, thinking that'll help him keep his job or something, you know. And we're just working, but you know what happened? He got saved. He's in that video. He's in church all the time now. He's not even working for me anymore. And he got saved and he just, come on. Yeah. See, the key is this. You and I don't have to be super Christian, because if we did, none of us have made it. Come on. Yeah. Right? What he is saying, though, what we've learned, Apply it to our lives. And as you live your everyday life, apply it and think about it and occupy your mind with it. Because I'll be honest with you, turning on the news up here, you don't want to occupy your... There's nothing you can do about it. Do you understand that? Take your Bible, go to the voting booth when it's time to vote and leave her there. Other than that, put on the blinders like a plowing mule and just focus on bringing people into the kingdom. That's it. That's the only thing we got. I go around one person, they come to church once in a while, you know, once a month at this one church, whether they needed to or not. And he's biggest griper of anything. And all he could do, he's wearing me out, man. He just wear me out about the president, okay? I'm not happy about the president, and I don't think most people are. Okay? But it's not like I'm going to go up to the White House, knock on the door, hey, you and I, we need to have a talk. It ain't happening. So what do? I pray for them. I try to reach the people around me. They get saved, right? God changes their heart. They start living by the principles of the Bible and change the country. Is that right? This guy just wearing me out. He just wouldn't stop. It's like 3 days like that. Now, I'm a pretty patient person, but I just had enough. And so I said, you know, before you continue to complain about the president, how about you just work at coming to midweek service? How about you straighten yourself out first? You know what? I didn't have to deal with him anymore for the rest of the week at the missions conference. He left me alone. The truth of the matter is this. Are our communities in trouble? Absolutely. Is our country in trouble? Absolutely. And don't sit here and say I'm not a patriot. I was in the military for 6 years, got out after the first Gulf War. Okay? I got a lot of friends who died and did all kinds of stuff. So the key is this. I'm not here to save America. Y'all okay? I'm here to get people saved. And you know what? If enough people get saved and begin to live like a Christian, like the book says, it'll save the country. See, we got the cart before the horse. You and I can't fix a thing. A lot of this stuff is out of control. One of my best friends I went to Bible college with called me about a month ago, said, pray for me. I think I'm having a heart attack. I'm going to the hospital right now. I said, okay. So I prayed for him. About 4 or 5 hours later, he calls me back. He says, well, I got some good news, some bad news. I said, what's the good news? He said, I didn't have a heart attack. I'm rejoicing. Praise the Lord. And then I thought, oh, what's the bad news? He said, well, I've got cancer all over my body. I'm in stage 4 cancer. Right now. Now, it's not like I can go up there and cut it out and do all this kind of stuff. I love my friend. So the only thing I can do is pray. Even when I pastored for 20 years, I could give a sympathetic ear. I could cry with you at the bedside. I can do all those things. But ultimately, it had to be God. There's a lot of stuff out of our control. But the one thing in our control is this. As we read and study the Bible, then we are to walk in the truth. That's our lifestyle. It's not just from Sunday, from such and such time to such and such time, we're a Christian. And then midweek service from such and such time for an hour. You know, hey, I'm a Christian 2 hours a week or 3 hours a week or 4 hours a week. You know, the rest of the time, I'm like the devil himself, you know, running around. No, this is a lifestyle. This is who I am. Somebody say, well, you know, I talk to people. What are you? I'm a mechanic. I'm this. No, that's your job. That's how you make your living. That's how you pay the bills so you don't have to live in a ditch. But what are you? Are you a Christian? Then live like a Christian. You know, if you're saved tonight, everybody who's saved in here is either a missionary or a mission field. You're one or the other. And what he says is he rejoices that they're walking in the truth. Listen, I guarantee you your pastor would be happy if all of a sudden he's out in town and he's talking to somebody. He said, oh, you know so-and-so? Oh, yeah, he goes to church here. Well, man, that guy, he's a lot of things, but I know this, he loves the Lord. Wouldn't you rejoice in that? It'd be a lot better than some of the stuff I got when I was pastoring. Huh? And so he's excited because they're walking in the truth. Now, I want you to notice something in verses 7 through 9. So they love the truth. They're applying the truth. They're living according to it, right? They're walking in it. And now, verses 7 through 9, they're standing for the truth. They're standing for the truth. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, that's the teachings of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And so we see a warning in verse number 7. There's a warning that there's a lot of false deceivers out there. Huh? You turn on so-called Christian television sometimes, and it's everything but Christian. Right? I don't know if that station's still around. They have it in Mexico. The Totally Bizarre Network, TBN. And so, you know, they have women on there with their hair looks like a home for wayward spiders. They're putting their makeup on with a putty knife. One time I had a friend that was there at the studios, and it was when Tammy Faye was still alive. And he was one of the last ones there. She was taking her makeup off. And he looked in the mirror. You know what he saw? Jimmy Hoffa. No, I'm teasing. Some of y'all won't get that. So, but he's saying, you know, you and I can stand for truth without a bad attitude.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. You don't have to be hateful.
That's right.
I have learned in Mexico, especially where I live, to choose my words wisely. You know, I run into some guys in the country and they're like, well, I'd get down there and just rip it loose. I'd say you do that one Sunday and we'll never hear from you again. Because these guys will do more than just leave the church. You'll be leaving the church and you won't be resigning. You understand what I'm saying? And so I've learned to do this. There's a lot of false stuff going around. Probably the biggest thing going around is the apostolics who deny the Trinity. Listen, if you deny the Trinity, you are not a Christian. I don't care if you know the words, you carry the right book. That's a fundamental of the faith. That's like denying the virgin birth. So we got to deal with that all the time. And all I know to do is this. They'll come and they'll say, well, you know, we were taught this and that and the other. And, you know, they do all kinds of, you know, my head hurts, my stomach hurts, can't find my cigarettes, all that stuff. And so we got to deal with all that stuff. And the thing that I do is I just say, man, I went to school equipment. I really don't know about all that stuff. All I know is the Bible says, and here's the verse. And then they're like, oh, yeah, they mentioned that in our church too, the Bible. You know, they never use it. And so they're like, wow, I never saw that before. There's only one mediator between man and God, the man Christ. Never saw that before. In fact, the Catholic Church, you know, they've taken out the grave, not to bow to graven images. They've taken that commandment out, and they split the ninth and tenth into two. So they still have 10, but they took that one out. Did you all know that? So they don't even know. So, you know, when I talk about the Ten Commandments or something, I pull the Bible out. Here's Exodus. Here's the Ten Commandments. You know, you should see their eyeball. When did that get in there? Well, it's been in there, you know, at least a couple of weeks, you know. So they're like, holy cow. Because we literally in October, for All Saints Day, Halloween, they walk there's thousands of them, walk to our city because we have a mannequin there, and they come for penance. So they'll literally walk a week. They're hobbling when they come in. And we're handing out Johns and Romans and tracts just as fast as we. I handed out, there's 375 in a box of Johns and Romans. I personally handed out 25 boxes in 2 hours. That's how many people there were. As fast as we could open them, the guy would hand them to me, and I'd pop, 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 pop. Because they're just walking in from everywhere. I talked to one guy. I said, why are you walking? He said, well, because my daughter's really bad sick, and I'm trying to get favor. And so they go in there with, I call it the dummy. It's a mannequin. And they spent $1 million for the building for the dummy to be in. And it's a big night. One night they change the clothes in it, like little girls, you know, playing with the playhouse. And they change the clothes on it and all this stuff. It's a big thing. And but they go in there and they rub all over it. And then they put their hand behind his head. And if they can lift it up, their sins are forgiven. If they can't, their sins are too heavy. But the catch is, there's a box at the foot and the head of the dummy to put pesos in. No pesos, no lift up the dummy. You see, you and I can stand for the truth, but we don't have to be hateful and obnoxious about it. We can just try to reach folks as much as we can, give them the truth. Then it's up to them what they're going to do with that truth. But it doesn't mean we have to compromise. Amen. If you're going to tell me that I need to have faith in Christ and be baptized to go to heaven, I'm going to tell you you're wrong, and I'm going to show you where you're wrong. Come on. And Jesus wasn't the Father, and then, you know, like a ventriloquist, he threw his voice and he's over here and he's doing that and he... Huh? The modalism?
Amen.
Or the Jehovah Witness, he's the Archangel Michael? Huh? Or the Mormon, he's the brother of Lucifer? What in the world? All you need is the book. And you don't have to defend it. Us defending the book is like a chihuahua defending a lion. Just turn it loose. It does its job. It's alive, it's quick and powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and the Holy Spirit will rip that heart wide open.
Amen.
He says to stand for the truth. Lastly, figure I get a loud amen right there. Verses 10 through 12, he talks about applying the truth. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. He's talking about hospitality and aiding a false teacher. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. He's saying this. Where I'm at, I'm friends with everybody. First thing we did when we went to that town, I knocked on every door and gave everybody a Bible. And the reason I did that, so they could see this face. And they know I'm not a threat in any way. Everybody knows, I've got signs on our vehicles, and I'm not doing that to advertise. I'm doing that so they know who I am, and there is no mistake. You understand, it gets violent by us sometimes. Last month, I delivered scripture to a town called Obregon, Sonora, Mexico. You can Google it right now. It's the number 4 most dangerous city in the whole world. And so I delivered 90,000 pieces of scripture to that church. They're going to hand it out. And that pastor's half apologizing to me. He's a doctor. And he says, look, I just had 2 guys shot and killed in front of my office yesterday. I'm like, man. He said, so we're not going to go door to door. We're afraid we'll get kidnapped or shot or something. Because what Sinaloa has done, the Sinaloa cartel, they put banners up because they're starting to catch some heat. They said, we are not making fentanyl in Sinaloa anymore. And they're not. They moved all their labs to Obregon. And so he said, what we're going to do is we're going to go out in groups to large group areas and hand out scripture. He's half apologizing. And I said, man, I'm just thankful you're willing to do anything for the Lord. You know what I mean? I'm afraid I'd probably be hiding in the house somewhere, you know. Somebody knocks on the door, I send my wife. You know, no, I'm teasing. And so, but he is saying this to apply the truth, to make a stand against unrighteousness. There's a lot of things that I see on this television up here I would have never dreamed about. Right? I knew years ago you go to California, you look for an Adam's apple to make sure what it is, but now you're not even sure. Everybody okay? And the truth is, there's not 7,542 genders, there's two. How do I know that? The Bible, he made man and woman. Is that right? And he said a man marries a woman. Is that right? So I don't care what the culture says. I don't care where they drop me off in the world. That's the truth. The truth never changes. It's eternal. It's like the Lord, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what we need is, since you and I know the truth, instead of worrying about straightening everything else out first, you and I need to focus on walking in the truth. And then once we make that a part of our lives, now we can stand for the truth. Because it's just like breathing in and out. We're not even thinking anymore. Somebody comes up to me, says, you know Jesus was Lucifer's brother? You know, what comic book are you reading? Because it's not in the Bible. I don't even have to think about it. No, that's not true. Do you know there's 17,000 different genders? No. There's a man and a woman. It's not I'm trying to be hateful and rude and obnoxious, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. That's the truth. So I don't have to dig around and think about it. I'm living it. I'm absorbing it. And now I'm not trying to portray myself as something. That's just who I am. Because it gets in me. And you just saturate your mind with the Word of God and you meditate on it during the day on the things that you read. And it is surprising that as you go through the day, how it's exactly what you needed to help through that day. And now it's just part of you. I remember when I first got saved, okay, I was 25, over there in Quitman, right? Mile off the paved highway. I remember the preacher led me to the Lord and he said, hey, we're going to do discipleship. I said, okay. He said, I'm coming over on Tuesdays. Here's the book. You got to memorize this verse. And then we do the little Bible study and we'll do this for like 6-8 weeks, the book was, I think. Okay, cool. You know, me, I'm redneck in heart, so. Yeah, let's do it, man. And so he comes over the house. He goes, all right, let me hear that verse. I said, man, I got to be honest with you. I had a little busy this week. I didn't have time to really do it. He said, well, that's all right. We'll learn the verse and then we'll do the study. He's at my house almost 4 hours. When he left, I told my wife, I don't care if it hair lips the governor. I'm knowing that verse next week. We ain't doing this again. He cured me from sucking eggs. You know what I'm saying? So I said, okay. But you know what? Now that's in me. I can rattle that stuff off now from way back when I got saved. It's a part of me now. And as I walk through the world, I wish I could stand here and say, man, I always make the right choices. No. When I'm leaning onto my own understanding, I make the worst choices possible. When I'm leaning on the Lord, I make them right ones. And the more I can get in me, the more I can get in my mind and absorbed in my heart, and the more I can yield to the Spirit of God, the more right choices I'm going to make. you know, you have a marriage that needs work, well, get right with the Lord. Put the Lord first. He'll take care of the rest of it. You having problems in any area of your life, guess what? Get right with the Lord. See what the Lord says about having a good relationship with him. And it's amazing. He fixes it all. Imagine that. The key is the truth. And by the way you live, either you're the truth